Lately I've been looking back along this windy road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other way to tell you but to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. For through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I have more gains than losses, that have no more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. For through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way I could say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. For through it all, God's been good.
Have your Bibles tonight. Let's open them up to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 3 tonight. And enjoyed that special. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13. The Bible says this: Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Tonight, with the Lord's help, we're going to be preaching on this subject, what everyone needs, what everyone needs. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for tonight. Lord, I just, again, just pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word. The song service has been wonderful. Lord, and the special has been on target. I pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word tonight, that you speak to hearts and decisions be made for your honor and glory. Father, we do love you. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor asked me to preach Sunday night, and last couple weeks, I've been reading through the book of Proverbs and kind of slowing down a little bit and doing a little bit of study, and I come along chapter number 3, and I thought to myself, made some notes in my Bible. I thought, boy, there's a good outline. I'm going to tuck that one away for later. And I thought, when somebody said Pastor was leaving, I was like, man, maybe I'll get to use that outline. Maybe not. And I just want to say, I had a lot of fun preparing for this. And normally, I don't alliterate, but I really did tonight. And I had a lot of fun doing it. So the letter for tonight is P. So, and if it's too much, don't tell me, all right? Because, again, I had fun. If you don't, that's fine. I'm preaching tonight, so it's okay. like I said earlier, tonight we're going to preach on what everyone needs in their life. And it's not money or wealth or prestige or notoriety. It's biblical wisdom. We need biblical wisdom today more than ever. And the longer I'm around, the more I realize that I need this in my life. My girls in my Sunday school class tease me relentlessly about me getting older. I'm going to be turning 40 in April, and I've noticed some things. I've got grays coming in my beard when I let it grow out. There's more grays now than brown. I see my father more when I shave. And I want to say this, the longer that I live, the longer I've been saved, the more that the Lord shows me, and the more and more that I'm able to apply what I've learned. And tonight what we're going to be looking at, like I said, is biblical wisdom. Someone once said this about wisdom. Wisdom is knowing as much at 36 as you thought you knew at 18. Biblical wisdom can be defined this way: the right use or exercise of the knowledge of the things of God. Now, wisdom is something that we need in our life if we're going to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. There are going to be times in our life that we're going to have situations that we're going to face that we have never faced before, and to be honest with you, we're not going to know what to do. That's when we need to get alone with God and get some wisdom on how to handle that situation. What should I do when I have a financial crisis? What should I do when I'm faced with a serious decision at work that's going to affect not only me but my family? What am I going to do in that situation? Well, that's where you need biblical wisdom. Now, a person who goes through life without biblical wisdom is destined for chaos and drama. The Bible calls this person the simple. And a simple person can be best described as someone who does not have enough sense to get out of the rain, but yet wonders why they're wet. Okay? A simple person does simple and silly things. And I want to say this, we all have a little simple in us. We have a propensity to do things that aren't so smart. I got some really good theological advice from a great source this week. Yogi Bear said this: you have to be smarter than the average bear if you're going to get picnic baskets. That's all I got. We're going to have to display some biblical wisdom in our life if we're going to be successful in our Christian walk. First thing we're going to look at tonight is what biblical wisdom produces in our life. First thing I want you to look at here is verse number 14. And the Bible says this, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Biblical wisdom produces profit in one's life. Now, the profit here is not necessarily financial, and the profit of biblical wisdom is far better than the profit of money. One may have a lot of money in their life, but be utterly miserable. You can have everything under the sun. You can have a successful career. You can have money in the bank. You can have a nice fat retirement plan, but be totally miserable and out of the will of God. The prophet here that he's talking about is understanding in life, and it's more valuable than rubies or gold. Biblical wisdom is going to help you navigate through life. Understanding what the Bible has to say about something when it comes up in your life and you're obedient, there's nothing more precious than that. When you can pillow your head at night and know in your heart that you did the right thing and that God is honored and He's pleased with you. And you understand that what you did was righteous in the sight of God. There's profit in that. Now, exercising biblical wisdom always paid off, always pays off. You may not see the dividend right then and there, but over time, it's going to pay off. See, the person who understands and obeys the Word of God won't be sorry for doing so. How many young people could have saved heartache if they would have just obeyed and gotten right, or perhaps not gotten in that relationship and got yoked up with an unbeliever? I've known people who were married to an unbeliever for 50, 60 years, total misery. How many godly businessmen avoided being audited by not cheating on their taxes because they know that the Bible says that an unjust balance is an abomination unto the Lord? Being obedient in exercising biblical wisdom is going to pay off. Look, we can go on and on tonight, but with these illustrations, but biblical wisdom not only brings a quantity of life, but it also brings a quality of life. Look here in verse number 16. "The length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor." Secondly, biblical wisdom produces prolonged days. You know, this goes without saying, but wisdom, especially biblical wisdom, allows us to have long life. Biblical wisdom is going to keep us from acting the fool and doing dumb things. You're never going to hear someone who exercises biblical wisdom say, "Hey, watch this," right before they go to the emergency room. All right? See, biblical wisdom and wisdom coupled with that is going to help us make good decisions in our life. It's going to keep young people from going down a trail of heartache and misery. I read a shocking statistic the other day. Many young people now are offered alcohol for the first time at the age of 11. 11. I don't even know what grade that is. I think it's like fifth, maybe. I'll have to ask my wife. Grade schoolers are being offered alcohol. We teach our kids in Master's Club and Sunday School, "Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever therefore is deceived thereby is not wise." That's why it's important that we develop biblical wisdom and show our children and teach our kids and be an example to them and show them what they should do, because it's going to prolong their life. It's going to produce in me sound judgment, and it's going to help me live. Look, Proverbs chapter 18 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Wisdom has a way of keeping me out of trouble. Wisdom has a way of stopping me from doing things that are not so smart. It helps us have sound judgment. Thirdly, biblical wisdom produces pleasant, peaceful paths. Verse 17. Her ways are our ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When a person exercises biblical wisdom, they avoid chaos and drama in their life. They can circumvent all the nonsensical things of life that can bring them harm. Because they understand that certain actions offend the Lord and in fact are sin, rather than disappoint the Lord, they do the right thing and are blessed because of it. Now, the question is this: do you truly want peace in your life? The development of biblical wisdom in your life, you're going to learn how to apply and exercise the knowledge of the things of God. Therefore, you're going to obey. And you're going to have peace and pleasant paths. Look, the Bible says that there is no peace for the wicked. I had a gentleman in our church. His name was Roger in Eldon. And I loved Roger. I got to lead Roger to the Lord. But Roger had a little problem he didn't want to give up. And back then, how could I put this? I was a little bit more eagerly zealous than I am now. Pastor's really calmed me down, which is probably good for you. But during that time, we had a revival coming in, and Bill Marshall was coming, and he called me and said, "Brother, I can't bring my banner." I'm like, "Well, Brother Marshall, what happened?" He goes, "Well, I lost it." I'm like, "Okay, well, no problem. I'll go make one." So I went down to the banner shop, and I had this banner made up. It was 12 feet long and 3.5 feet wide, red with white letters. It was kind of subtle. It said, "Get right with God," with like 3 exclamation points on it. Roger was getting his lunch eaten every night. It was great. And I was really enjoying it. Not so much him, but I was really kind of praying for him to do some things. And he come in Monday night, and he just got all upset. He come in Tuesday night, he got more upset. Wednesday night, he cornered me in the back. He goes, "I hate your sign." "Why?" He goes, "I just stare at it. It's like a neon sign that blinks at me, and it just won't leave. God won't leave me alone. It's all I think about. I go to bed at night, and I see that stupid sign, and I'm thinking about what I need to give up, and I just won't want to do it." And I'm thinking, "Roger, wouldn't it be easier just to obey? I mean, doesn't wisdom say that you might want to give up what God's dealing with you about?" He goes, "No. I want to do what I want to do." "Roger, you're not going to have peace until you do right." It took him till like Sunday, but he got it right. But I want to say this. When we obey, we're at peace with God. But when we're not, we set ourselves at enmity with Him. And when you rebel, you're at odds with God. And He is going to deal with you until He brings you back to Himself. And He's not going to let you go. He's not the kind of father that overlooks things. He's going to track you down. He is not going to let up until you give up and get right. That's why we need to develop biblical wisdom in our life and learn how to obey, so we can have peaceful paths and pleasant paths. You ever wonder why people who love the Lord and are obedient, are always happy? They're walking on peaceful, pleasant paths. I'm almost going to mess that up. And they've learned how to obey. That's why I like to talk to the ones who've been there the longest, the older saints of God in our church. Talk with them, visit with them, get to know them. Got to know Brother Hubbard over the last 4 years. I like Brother Hubbard. We talk about a lot of things. We encourage each other. And Learned a lot from Brother Hubbard. And he's taught men's devotion several times on this same theme. And I can hear him saying the things that I'm saying tonight. We need to learn biblical wisdom. Fourthly, not only does it produce peaceful paths, but the last thing biblical wisdom produces in our life is permanent stability. Look here at verse number 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom is a tree of life, and a tree, if you've ever noticed, is always at a fixed point. They never move in and of themselves. When I was little, we grew up in a valley, and our property was on a creek bottom, and we had big oak trees down on the creek bottom. They were about 4.5-5 feet in diameter, big trees, when I was little. With my brother, we'd go down, we'd fish, we'd play in the creek, mess around down there, and I always remember these big trees. And those trees, Chrissy and I drove by there at Christmas time, they're still there. They've not moved. Biblical wisdom has a way of rooting and grounding us in life, where we're not blown around by every wind of doctrine that comes along or pulled out by every whim that comes into our heart. And when we lay a hold on it, we're going to have, like I said earlier, a quantity and a quality of life that only obedience is going to bring. We got to learn how to apply and how to rightfully use the Word of God in such a way that it's pleasing to the Lord. And our life's going to be stable. When somebody doesn't have biblical wisdom in their life, they're just all over the place. They're over here doing their own thing. They've got chaos and drama and heartache, all because they didn't exercise and rightfully use what they knew the Bible had to say. You know, biblical wisdom is going to get us through life. We've all met simple people that are flighty and run from one thing to the other, and it always ends badly for them, all because they didn't have biblical wisdom and they did their own thing. Now, it's going to keep us stable. When a person has biblical wisdom in their lives, like we said earlier, they're fixed. They're not going to vacillate back and forth. Now, so we've seen things that biblical wisdom produces in our lives. So how does one procure biblical wisdom? How do I get this stuff? Glad you asked. James chapter 1. James 1. Nothing too difficult tonight. Bible says this in verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God giveth liberally. Those of you who don't know, that means a bunch and a lot. And what I like about God, when I ask him for wisdom, he does not upbraid me. That means to mock or ridicule, or like we sometimes say, poke fun at. There's times that I just don't know what to do, and I've got to ask. You know where most Christians' problems come from with biblical wisdom? They don't ask. They're too proud. They're too swelled up to ask God for help. Anybody ever meet anybody like that? When I was in Bible college, I was the maintenance student labor supervisor, which that's a glorified title for babysitter. All right, so it was my job to make sure everybody did their work right. We had a thermocoupler that was broke down, or that it went out on a hot water heater in the girls' dorm. And I had a kid from California. This kid was interesting. We called him Stump. That's another story for later. So me and Stump trotted up the stairs, and I asked him, have you ever changed a thermocoupler before? Yep, I got this. All right. Are you sure? Yep. How many times have you done this? None. All right. Do you need some help? No? All right. If I was going to change this thermocoupler, here's what I would do. And then I explained to him how to change the thermocoupler. And he goes, I got this. Are you sure? I got this. So I'm in girls' main dorm down in Heartland. The halls are narrow. So I'm heading down the hallway, heading back towards the stairs, and I was checking out a breaker panel that we had a problem with over there. And I'm almost to the breaker panel, Brother Auger. All of a sudden I hear this, whoom! I look back and Stump is laying out of the it was so great. He was laying out of the closet. He's laying, just looking at the closet. He's laying on the floor, and he looks at me, and I lost it right here. I'm almost about to still lose it. He had a little flame on what was left of his eyebrows, and me being the godly man that I was, walked up to him. I was like, hey, your face is on fire. So he puts it out. I was like, what happened? He goes, I don't have this. I'm like, you're right. We cannot be too proud to ask for help, or bad things are going to happen. We're going to get hurt. We got to learn that wisdom comes from God, and we're going to have to ask. And you know what I've learned? It's okay if you don't know everything. There's somebody else who does. If we're going to have biblical wisdom, we got to go to the source of knowledge. Look here at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7. Hold your place here. We're probably going to be back in our text. Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck and chains about thy neck. We defined earlier biblical wisdom as the right exercise of biblical knowledge. Now, biblical knowledge comes from spending time in the Word of God, daily Bible reading, meditation, and memorization. I'll be honest with you, I struggle with memorization. I've hated it since kindergarten. Bible college on verse quizzes, I just wanted to go up and ask him, can I take my F now? And just, I'll do my best, but can we just go ahead and get this over with? I'm not good at that. I have to work at it. But it's good for me. There's things that I memorized when I first got saved that God brings to mind right when I need it. And that helps me to remember wisdom and instruction. Meditation. Meditation is mulling over what you read during your daily Bible reading. Don't go into autopilot on your daily Bible reading. It's not a race. All right? Think about it during the day. Write things down. Meditate on it. Think about it. Mull it over and over and over and over. So that's knowledge. Second part's instruction. Instruction. Preaching. I want to say this very clearly. Preaching has changed my life. I can think back on messages and say, that one right there was a crossroads message in my life. If I didn't go to church that night and hear that message, I don't want to think about where my life would be at right now if it was not for that message and me responding to it. That's why we need to work so hard to keep our mind on the on what the subject matter at hand during preaching. Do you realize that all other human endeavors and things of life wane in comparison of importance to preaching? Do you realize what happens when someone gets ready to preach? What goes into that? Pastor spends all week with God. All right? God deals with him, changes his heart in relation to the message he's studying for, and then we get to hear what God said on Sunday morning. Oh, about you, that's pretty exciting. Let me bring this into focus here. The Creator of the universe is relaying a message through his man to you and I, the hearers and the body of people who are gathered to hear the message that day. And God is communicating with us through his preached word. And we learn from that. We receive instruction. Sunday school, we learn how to apply the Word of God to our lives. Sometimes Sunday school can be kind of dry, but everybody needs a little bit of broccoli now and again. We need instruction of the Word of God so we can learn how to apply it. When I was in the service, they taught us things over and over and over and over again. And they come in very handy. Land navigation, we spent 4 weeks on how to read a map. That was the most boring 4 weeks I will never retain in my life. I will never get that time back ever again. It's gone. It's gone. But bless the Lord, I know how to read a map and a compass. And that came in handy a time or two. Being lost out in the middle of the woods with a bunch of people who didn't know how to read a map and a compass. And the thing I remember during class that came into my mind immediately was your emergency back azimuth. All right, which way did I leave the truck? You know? But here's the thing. The instruction you receive in preaching and in Sunday school will be invaluable to you when it comes to biblical wisdom. The preaching you get is going to change the direction of your life. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change how you perceive things. You know, I like that verse in chapter 1 where it says it'll be an ornament about your neck or about on your head and a chain about your neck. Do you realize that that kind of ornamentation in Oriental culture denoted who you were? Remember the royal signets that David's daughters wore and the signet that Judah wore? It denoted who he was. Do you realize that instruction and wisdom is going to denote who we are in the Lord? This wasn't in my message. This is just free. If we start acting the fool and don't obey the Word of God and apply what we learned, how's that going to affect our testimony? How's that going to make us look? Thirdly, we're going to procure biblical wisdom. Then we need to listen to wise counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked... I wrote down the wrong verse. 15. I'm reading 15. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, some of the best wisdom I've ever gained in my life was from the advice of godly men. I can remember calling pastor with problems that I had and asked him, hey, preacher, what would you do? He talked to me about it. He shared some scriptures. He'd pray with me about it. I can remember calling Brother Carl Ray, talking to Brother Carl. And I like talking to those older men who've been there longer than I had and had walked down that road and had faced those same problems that I was facing. And they gave me wise counsel. The problem many people face with counsel is they don't want to listen. Can I help you, young people, with this thing? Your parents are much smarter than you realize. They have lived where you're at right now. They've walked that road. They have faced that problem. They have been where you're at. A lot of times we discount their counsel because we might think that, well, they don't understand because this is not the same generation or we're in a different time. Can I tell you this? Problems are still problems because people are involved. It doesn't change, just the dates and hairstyles. It's the same. It is the exact same problems. You got interpersonal conflicts, you got issues at work, you got problems at school, you have relationship problems. They're all the same. Just different time, different people, different place. Listen to wise counsel. Learn how to listen, even when it hurts. Because sometimes a good counselor is just going to get all up in you, and he's going to yell at you and tell you things you don't want to hear. And it's going to hurt. Let me tell you what. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I've had good friends tell me that I'm being an idiot, and I need to fix myself because I'm not being godly. And that was some of the best counsel I'd ever received. Learn to listen to wise counsel. If you want biblical wisdom, you want to procure it, you want to get it, learn how to listen to counsel. Don't discount it. So we've seen here what biblical wisdom produces, and we've seen how to procure it. But you know, I would do a great disservice tonight if I was not to tell you that there was a big penalty for rejecting biblical wisdom. We are headed for trouble when we do our own thing. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1 again. Proverbs 1. Verse number 20. Bible says this, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Do you realize that once you make a decision and act on it, you can't ever get it back? Once you let that rascal off the chain, it's done. It's done. There is calamity and fear and destruction and heartache when you do what's right in your own eyes. When you jump out there on your own and you do your own thing with reckless abandonment, and you think, you know what? I got this. I can do whatever I want. I'm not going to listen. And in fact, when you don't listen to God, this is exactly what you're saying. I am wise enough from what I know not to obey what the Bible has to say. And you act on it, it's too late then. There's an immutable law called sowing and reaping. For every action, there was an equal reaction. You can't expect to do one thing and reap another. When you do something that is contrary to the Word of God, there's consequences. You know, you can choose your sin, but you just cannot choose your consequences. And there's always a penalty to be paid. Did you notice that text we just read? There's calamity, there's fear, there's destruction. Why? All because they wouldn't hearken unto the reproof of wisdom. You realize that biblical wisdom is going to keep you from all of that? I mean, how many really want to stand in line for calamity? Yeah, that's something I want to go for. I haven't had calamity in a couple hours. I'm kind of low. I think I want some of that in my life. How about some fear and destruction? Yep, haven't had any major financial loss in the last 24 hours. I think I'm up for some of that. No, that's why we need biblical wisdom in our life. Biblical wisdom is going to keep us from these things. You know, and the funny thing about getting older is you look back on the things that you've done earlier in life. And you know, looking back on some of the things I've done, I shamefully have to say, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And here's how that affected me in my life, in my family, in my wife, and how it's affected me, not only right then and there, but it has a ripple effect. You make a dumb decision to get you out of church, it's not only going to affect you and your family, then, that year, 2-3 years from now, but you are effectively taking your children's lives and possibly the lives of your grandchildren into your own hands. Because if you get out of church, you do something that's contrary to the Word of God, chances are your children might not get back into church. And your grandchildren are less likely than they are to be in the church and to be serving God and having biblical wisdom in their lives. Back in our text here in chapter 3, the Bible said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That word happy, it's just not a good mood. It's blessed. Blessed. There's people in this church that get to see their grandchildren in services with them. What a blessing. I don't know. There may be some folks here who have seen their great-grandkids in service. You look down the pew when they're all there. What I like is sitting right back there when the auger's grandkids are here. It's like an auger invasion. They're all lined up. And I love it because Mrs. Auger is so happy. She's grinning and Brother Auger's just sitting up very blessed. Blessed. Guess what's not going to happen if you don't have biblical wisdom? All those blessings sitting to your right or your left. Do you see why it's so important that you develop biblical wisdom while you're young? What happens if you marry somebody that God doesn't have intended for you in your life? It's going to be a tough road to hoe. What happens if you take a job that you're not supposed to and you don't have biblical wisdom about it and you do something remarkably bad? You got to pay the consequences. See why we all need biblical wisdom in our life? Not only when we're young, but when we're older. When we're middle-aged or not so middle-aged. We all need biblical wisdom in our life. Let's all stand tonight.